Hey guys, Sean Hammond with PremierGuitar.com here. We are backstage with Troy Van Leeuwen from Queens of the Stone Age, and they're doing sound check with another band out there right now. So we're going to talk about Troy's rig here in the green room. Troy, yes. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. PG.
PG,
like there. PG, is that good, right?
Now, you and Josh were off on a motorcycle ride just now. We want to talk about that a little bit first, okay. Or should we just dive into the rig?
We can talk about that because that's fresh on my mind. we've got this trailer that we take with our, you know, with our bus on the road in the States, and we put our bikes in there. So any town, especially we're here in Council Bluffs, Iowa, I guess that's where we are. There's always some good riding, you know, there's always some open roads and some breeze at your knees. So that was just a fun, you know, like hour and a half excursion that we took. And, you know, when you're on the road, there's a lot of things that you neglect because you're changing venues all the time. You're going to different hotels. So we need something like that to keep our brains, you know, active and also keep us away from drinking too much and watching too much of The Wire and Game of Thrones, you know.
So blow off a little steam and get your mind clear before the
game. So that's a good thing for us.
What kind of rigs are we talking about in terms of bikes?
They're mostly Harleys. You know, I know there's some people have stigmas about Harleys. I don't think I'm of myself as a Harley guy, but I like my Harley, you know. So
what kind?
I have a 2007 Springer Heritage Softail, and it's, you know, it's got some custom things on it. It's kind of to my liking.
Does the paint match any of your guitars or anything? Just kidding.
No. I mean black.
Yeah, Oxblood.
I don't have any Oxblood on my bike, but I certainly have black. I don't know if you noticed, but I don't really like black at all.
All right. So in terms of your guitar rig, you've actually got three sort of rigs, one for regular six-string stuff, one for lap steel, and one for keyboard stuff. Do you want to start off talking about your guitar rig?
Yeah, well, basically my guitar rig is years of accumulation of stuff. Some of it's old, some of it's new, some of it's analog, some of it's digital. I don't really, you know, care too much for, you know, everything being vintage and all special and you know, precious. I like stuff that works, you know, so I like a mix, you know. There's some, you know, some new pedals that I have, and there's some new companies that I've discovered that are making pedals. I really like this company called Earthquaker Devices. Yeah. They're in, they're in Akron,
Ohio.
Using a couple of their pedals. I use the Dispatch Master.
Okay.
It's a nice reverb echo. And I also use the Bit Commander.
And these are on your regular guitar rig?
Yes.
Now, those must be in the rack, I'm guessing, because on the pedal board on stage, we didn't see that.
Yeah, because I also use a ground control unit because I'm also running MIDI to change the newest piece of gear I have, which is called a Fractal.
The XFX 2 or?
Yeah. And I'd been holding off forever to use something like that, but it's just kind of crept into my life because I've always used a TC Electronics GeForce. And it started making noise after using it for 10 years. So I just figured I'd get something new. And actually, I've gotten quite used to the Fractal. It sounds great, actually, because once you get into all the parameters of all the effects, you can actually make it sound pretty good, pretty much custom.
Now, your onstage amp rig is basically a couple of AC30s, right? A head driving, I think it was like a 212 cab and a Marshall 412, and then another AC30 combo?
Mm-hmm. They're both hand-wired AC30s.
Like the recent hand-wired versions that you can buy, you just refinished them in red?
Yeah, they're just Tolux and Bronco red, because all of our amps are Tolux and Bronco red right now. So there's those. I use those because they're new, and I think I've had one go down on me In the last 6 years.
So how do those work with the Axe FX? Like, can you sort of break down what you use those for and what you use the Axe FX for and how many sounds you use in the Axe FX and stuff?
I'm really using the Axe FX for reverbs and tap delays. And then I actually use it also for sort of like I guess it would be Univibe, you know. Okay. Sort of wobbly mm-hmm. effect, but I also use it for routing stuff to different amps. Okay. Like, my main amp with the 212 and the 412 is pretty dry,
AC 30 head.
And then the other combo has all the effects going to it. So sometimes I'll do a little bit of stereo stuff, and sometimes I'll just throw everything on that side. Control out front, front of house, you know.
So all the amp sounds are from the AC30s. You're mainly using effects from the XFX.
Yeah, I'm not really down with using, you know, digital amps yet. I never say never, you know, but just doesn't feel right to me. But yeah, that's why I'm using, for gain stages, I'm using pedals. You know, I use some way huge stuff. I've got a Portloin for like just a straight boost. Mm-hmm. And I'm using this company called Fuzz Rocious, makes this great fuzz pedal called the OC Demon. Mm-hmm. That's hand wired too, and
is that one in your rack?
That's in the rack too. Yeah. What I have on the pedal board is kind of before all the rack, you know. So I'm using also this Super Puss delay, just for, you know, if I want to get nutty for a second. Mm-hmm. It gets really extreme.
Analog,
yeah.
The custom Audio Electronics tap tempo pedal that's on that main pedal board, is that for the Axe FX?
That's for the Axe FX, yeah. It's just for the tap tempos of everything, yeah. So,
how many different sounds are you using? Or different, like the ground control from Voodoo Lab has a lot of buttons on it. Do you use that many patches?
I use all of them. And I have like banks and banks of song presets, you know, like... We started off with a set, like a general kind of set. So I made, you know, a bank for each song. So I'm using it all, yeah. And I'm actually accessing the loops as well, the first 8 loops, which are the pedals.
Are the sounds radically different from, like, what you're doing for the new album, like Clockwork,
yeah,
versus the older stuff?
That's kind of where the evolution of, you know, sort of my role in the band has gone. Yeah, so when I first joined the Queens, you know, Josh and I were kind of using the same sort of setup, which I'm not going to talk about because that's his thing. And over the years, my role has sort of become like, you know, the single coil playing ambient color guy. So that's why I don't just play guitar. I play lap steel, and I play keyboards too. Yeah, that's why I went to the AC30s after using his stuff, because it just branched out where his sound is the main sort of queen sound, you know, and mine kind of flanks his realm. And then now that we have Dean in the band too, there's a lot of ground being covered. So you can't just live in that one general mid-range guitar world. We go from high to low.
More complimentary.
Yeah, yeah. So, but the AC30s can, with a certain pedal, they can do what the old stuff does. They're very versatile. You know, I use this Q-Zone from Dunlop. It's basically a wah pedal that you just set and forget, and it makes perfect chicken every time. There's a Morley wah too. Yeah. It's just a straight up wah. Yeah. I don't think there's a fuzz in there.
The Dunlop volume pedal, right? Do you do a lot of swelling effects or?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a pretty key piece of gear in my rig. There's lots of times where it's just easier for me to hit it with my foot rather than my finger, as far as, like, you know, easing back. There's some points in the set where we, you know, pull the volume almost all the way down, you know, and keep playing. And even our sound man out front will pull the faders down at some point, you know, just for drama.
Yeah. What's the lap steel?
It's this Chandler lap steel. It's just a giant hunk of mahogany, and it's got this I think it's like an Invader pickup. It's just the hottest.
Like a Duncan?
Yeah, like the hottest pickup you can find.
It's an unusual combo for a lap steel.
Yeah, it's not really like, you know, it's not really used in the traditional sense very much. It's a noisemaker, yeah. And it's a searing sort of swooping, you know, effect piece. You know, a lot of the times there's a reverb on it, and there's a delay on it, and I'll use an Ebow on it even. Yeah. So
what else is on that pedal board? I think there was a Line 6 DL4 delay modeler,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's just easier to have that guy there because there's three different settings that I use for the delays. And it's, I just use a, I think it's a REV5 Boss reverb. Mm-hmm. And then there's one of my new favorite pedals that my friend Jonathan Hish turned me on to. Okay. It's called a Super Ego. It's an electro-harmonics pedal. And it's basically like a sort of a freeze portamento kind of thing that really, really helps make more noise. there's a Green Rhino by Way Huge just to boost it if I needed to.
On the DL4, are you doing any sort of looping type stuff or mainly just straight delays?
Yeah, it's pretty much straight delays. I think there's an expression pedal just to, you know, tweak the feedback if I need to. But yeah, that's pretty much that rig. I just use a regular slide because...
Steel or Pyrex?
Yeah, it's steel. Sometimes, because there's one song on the new record called Collapsia where... I have to switch between lap steel and guitar slide really quick, so I need to have it on my finger already. I used to use the big solid bars, mm-hmm. but yeah, it just won't work. So it works fine though.
Now, what else is in your rack? I think you mentioned the Fuzzerocious and the yeah. Is that where the Q zone
is in there? I think there's a Green Rhino in there too. My rig is constantly changing. I mean, right now it's working really, really nice, but I know in like 2 months there's gonna be some changes. It's just the way it is. I find new stuff and I find stuff that works better. And
speaking of that, that's probably a good segue into your newest guitar, yeah, the Echo Park.
There's the Echo Park. It's based off a design that Leo Fender, the main builder for Echo Park, Gabriel, used to work at G&L, I guess. Mm-hmm. So he discovered this guitar that Leo Fender left behind in an attic, I guess. It's like a, you know, it's the shape of a Tele, but it's kind of bigger. Mm-hmm. It's handmade by Gabriel. It's really cool.
And it's got like a traditional T-style bridge with, I think, brass barrels or something.
Brass barrels on it, you know. I've been using some of the Mastery stuff too, because I have another Tele that has the Mastery bridge on it. So I'm kind of toying with that.
Does that other Tele have like a Bigsby on it to work with that? Or
No. They make a Tele bridge now, Mastery. Oh, okay. Yeah, which is really great. It's totally, like, just stays, it keeps everything just, you know, that's another thing where it's like new technology. It's like sometimes people go, you know, the purists, and I'm like, fuck all that. I like things that work and things that stay in tune, and I'm on the road. I'll leave all my vintage stuff at the studio, you know, where it's in a nice environment where it's not going to get thrashed. Well, it could get thrashed, but, yeah, so I've been using the Mastery bridge on that and on, you know, all my Jazz Masters too.
What are the pickups in the Echo Park before we go on to your new Jazz Master?
I think it's modeled after a 60s Tele pickup. I'm not sure what year he said. You know, he's so great. He basically built that guitar and treated it in like 2 weeks, like in the most intense part of our pre-production to get ready to go on the road. So he would just show up at the show with, and at the day of the show, it was ready. And I couldn't even remember all the stuff that he did to it. But it's such a great guitar, and it feels good and sounds good. In the neck pickup, I think it's a gold foil sort of
D'Armond almost like.
Yeah, yeah, but it's
Arcanes are in some other guitars on this stage, but
yeah. It's those pickups, yeah. They're he calls them the gold foil pickups. But it's a single coil and it sounds kind of like a mid-60s Japanese, like Taisko Del Rey, you know. I like that sound. So
did you have any special requests in terms of the neck or neck profile or the frets or anything?
I just really was going for like a mid-60s kind of telly, you know, just something that's a little bigger, you know, but just classic. No real frills there other than the pickups and the way it's built. I mean, it's built like a tank, you know.
All right, so next up, I think what we saw earlier was, is it a new signature Jazzmaster?
Yeah. Wow, here it is right here. This is the prototype of my new Jazzmaster. It's basically, it's modeled after a mid-60s, like 66, 65 Jazzmaster, but the only difference, and of course it's all sweaty, is instead of the plastic pickup selector here, I put a full-on toggle switch because I learned how to play electric guitar on basically a Les Paul, and so I use this circuit all the time just for either for pickup switching or for killing.
It's faster than the little slider.
Yeah, just I always miss it, you know, live. But I really wanted the aesthetic of a mid-60s Jazzmaster with the matching headstock. And the block inlays and the binding on the neck. The pickups are they're new vintage American Jazzmaster pickups. Although it doesn't come with the Mastery bridge, it comes with a Mustang bridge.
The production model.
Yeah, the production model, because I wanted to do a deal with Mastery, but he just couldn't make that many. Yeah. Like more than 200, you know.
You know when this will be coming out?
I hope before the end of the year, but better be out by NAMM. But anyway, it's the only other thing that's custom, and it's sort of a tip of the hat to a Candy Apple. It's my Candy Oxblood sort of, you know, I don't know what they consider, like when you get an old 50s car or like a 55 Bel Air or you know, a 49 Merc. Sometimes they'll paint it this color where it looks black in the dark and then in the light it's like a wine color, oxblood. So I wanted something like that really accentuated the curves of the body. And that's really it. I mean, it's pretty much a standard Jazzmaster, just with my couple of tweaks.
Sweet. Now, I think Eric Yurtek mentioned the other main guitar on stage was a Burns 12-string.
Yeah, on this new record, if you haven't noticed, there's a lot of 12-string on the recordings. Mm-hmm. And that was the guitar. And right now I'm actually working on a 12-string Fender. Just because that one's really special to me. I've had it forever. And I've used
the Burns?
Yeah, the Burns. And it's green. It's a green sunburst. So I need a backup, you know.
What can you tell us about the new Fender you're working on?
Well, there's actually two. One's a double neck Jazzmaster. 12 on top, 6 on the bottom.
Will that just be a one-off
it's
thing?
It's a one-off, yeah. I think it's... I mean, I don't know how many double necks Fender could sell. Or me. Yeah, that's something that's going to be very useful for stage, because on the record there's a lot of switching between 12 and 6 string, and yeah, just to have a backup would be great. And then there's also talk of maybe doing a Tele 12 string, just because,
like we posted on Facebook before when we were on our way here, telling people, you know, we're going to talk to Troy, what do you want us to ask? And a lot of people were asking about your signature Yamaha that used to have as a semi-hollow body. I think, was it with P90s?
Had 3 P90s in it, yeah.
And just wondering if that is just something that doesn't work within the context of what you have to do for Queens of the Stone Age, or...
At the moment, it's better for, you know, for the new record to have more of a single coil, you know, Fender sound.
A little too much gristle on the P90s?
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty hot, and for... you know, when I designed that guitar with them, it was during the making of Lullabies to Paralyze, and we were using a lot of hollow bodies on that record, and a lot of old hollow bodies that we never wanted to bring on the road. So I wanted something that could, you know, do that live, you know, go from the middle pickup to, you know, to either other of the other pickups. So, and I love that guitar. They just stopped making it, and then so they're gone. So find, if you can find one, I say, even if it's used, just grab it, because I mean, that was a one-time deal.
So you just have a handful left, or?
I have a couple left, you know. I have one in the box, and I think I have the prototype and a backup of that one.
Cool. Another thing people were asking was just about how stuff differs from what you're using on the road versus in the studio, and you've said a lot of things so far that sort of indicate you're trying to replicate what's on the album, but what are some of the differences?
Amp-wise, another amp that I've used for I don't know how long is a Fender Bassman, a 65. Mm-hmm. I'll put that into any cabinet, and it sounds great. So that's another amp that I used a lot on the record. As far as pedals, I'm using just about everything that I used on the record, you know. Guitar-wise, too, you know, it's a lot of single-coil stuff. Tellies, Jazzmaster, Jaguar, yeah.
I think in your guitar boat on the side of the stage that I did see a Telly and another Jazzmaster and maybe even a Les Paul and a couple other things. Are those just like if you're in the mood and you guys just had to do some encore song?
Sometimes, or? You know, at the end of the set, we, you know, do some older stuff, and, you know, that's where the Les Paul comes out. It's a, you know, the older stuff definitely has a humbucker sound. So the Les Paul is tuned down for that stuff. And actually, I'm using a Jazzmaster tuned down for some stuff too, because, like I said, you know, we're kind of at that spot where we can branch out tone-wise. Even if we're playing an older song, it's almost nice to cut through a little more, you know.
A different timbre from a different tuning.
Yeah. So that's another reason why I use those master bridges, because they really hold that tuning on a Jazzmaster like perfectly.
Are quite a few or some of the new songs in like C? I think some of the guitars that Josh is using are in C, like baritone tuning, aren't they?
It's not really baritone. It's like a, basically if you take a regular tuning guitar and drop it, I don't know, what is that, two whole steps? So it's just a regular tuning, but just in C.
And then on those songs where Josh is using that, do you also tune down, or do you just sort of?
Depends, you know. I think there are some songs where you can do both, you know. Somebody can hold down the low end, and somebody can do the high end. You know, now that we have three guitar players, there's a lot of that going on. There's kind of no rules now, you know. So whatever works. You know, don't trip on it too hard. That's how we kind of roll.
All right. So unless there's anything else in the main rig,
we can go on, you know.
I
can talk about my shoes. I mean, I wear these kind of shoes because I step on a lot of pedals.
Easier to get into the specific foot switch.
It's a very surgical procedure that I'm working on.
Those look deadly too. There's steel toes in there, huh?
Do some damage.
Is that blood on one? No, just
kidding. That could be.
You too.
Ox blood.
on your shoes.
What strings, what gauges do you prefer in brands, if you have any?
I'm not that much of a stickler for strings. I think strings are strings unless you're in the studio. Live, I use the Dunlops. You know, I have a good relationship with that company and that. And they've been really good to me, and so I just keep on using them. They're
like 10s or 11s?
They're 11 to 52s for E. I think the Cs are 12 to 58 or something like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
About picks?
Herco's. Through Dunlop, yeah. 75.
Like a 75 millimeter?
Okay. Jimmy Page pick. That's what I was told.
Sweet. What about as far as like tubes in your AC30s? Are you picky about brand, or are they new old stock, or just like current groove tubes?
There's kind of a little bit of both. There's some groove tubes in there. I like their stuff. it's basically, I don't think I've changed the tubes in years. I mean, that's why I like those amps. They just don't.
Pretty much what came in them?
Pretty much what came in them, yeah. I mean, they're stock. There's no hot rodding going on my amps. They just work, you know.
Troy, we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. Yeah. Where can people go to find out more about what you're doing and more of what's coming out with Queens of the Stone Age and your new guitars and stuff?
I would say that, you know, the newest thing that I'm going to be doing is the Fender signature model and the double neck. So anything, you know, I'll try and, like, you know, Instagram a picture or whatever, or maybe, you know, Twitter it, but... Yeah, the progress of that is being documented to the double neck. Mm-hmm. So, that's
on your Twitter account.
No, it's going to be done through Fender, and I'll just kind of, you know, link it up. Okay. But yeah, I just keep looking for new stuff, and so, you know, I'll always kind of Instagram or Twitter it.
Okay. Yeah. Any Facebook stuff you want to plug or websites you want people to?
No, I mean, there's, you know, the other band that I work with, Sweethead, we're almost done with our new record, and look out for that. That's going to be coming out hopefully before the end of the year.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Sure.
This is Sean Hammond for PremierGuitar.com. Thanks for watching.